You can't tell, I'm a little bit excited about tonight. Christmas is exciting. I love Christmas. And it sounds a little crazy because I know I gripe about Christmas before I get here. Because shopping and traffic and driving and all the things. But speaking of driving, that was a bad segue, I'm sorry. Before the advent of GPS, being built into phones, right? Before they started building it into phones. And yeah, sorry, advent. It was a deliberate pun. It was really bad. I used to have this old sit-it-on-the-dashboard GPS from Magellan. And I used to use it for work. I worked for Xerox. I used to drive 40,000 miles a year for them. It was crazy. And I'd keep that thing on the dashboard. That was my guidepost, man. If I needed to get somewhere, it was plugged into that GPS, and it got me there. Whether it was in Bellefonte or Scranton or Pittsburgh or wherever, I got there. But every time I even took that thing across country, and it knew right where I was going. Took it to Puerto Rico once, it knew all the roads there too, it was great. But every time you would get where you were going, at the end of the trip, she would always say, "You have arrived." Pronounced it, in fact. And it never sounded like she was happy. She always sounded angry that I had gotten where I was going. Like, well, now I'm done. You are there. Now, we've been working through this series during Advent, and it extends out through Epiphany Sunday, so about 2 weeks from now, which is just a couple of weeks away, of course. Each week has had a different theme, and go figure, tonight's theme is arrive. We're celebrating the arrival of Jesus Christ, amen? It's okay to say amen. Amen. There you go. All right. However, not everyone was celebrating the arrival of Jesus Christ. Just like today, there were powers that don't like the kingdom authority that comes with Jesus Christ and his heavenly kingdom. As his authority does and will supersede any earthly kingdom and authority and earthly kings and leaders, well, they don't like that. And God has inspired a millennia of disobedience to rulers for the sake of obedience to God. And they're being good for Jesus' sake. I'm just going to take it back to my child's sermon. There we go. But let's run through the list. We've got Abraham, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, David, Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, and countless others, including those we recognize today, of course, as the three wise men. They were not inclined to bow to the authority of earthly kings because they recognized God as their primary ruler. Jesus is Lord, Scripture says. And once we have confessed that Jesus is Lord, it's hard to look at any earthly ruler and see them as an authority figure in our life. It just really is. Because, well, frankly, God is just bigger than they are. And it's the reason why nations and governments work tirelessly to root out faiths that follow the God of Abraham. Faiths that recognize Yahweh as king do not bend knee. And I don't know if you saw the recent reports of what's going on in China, but it's not new. China's been doing this for years. They're locking people up in concentration camps for being Christians and Muslims. And it's horrifying that we're back there. And so it was in Jesus' day, especially on Jesus' birthday, as there were at least two kings that did not want him born. And if born, they certainly did not want him to survive for very long. The first and most obvious we learn about is Herod. Now, he sent those three wise men to find Jesus. He said, "Hey, what I want to do is I want to meet this king of the Jews. I want to heap honor and praise upon him. He's God's son. He's the Messiah. Go find him and then come back and tell me where he is so I can bow down before him and recognize him." Well, of course, we know, and the wise men were keyed in on this. God let them know that Herod was not going to do any of that. He wanted to find out where Jesus was so he could go there and kill him. See, because that's how earthly kingdoms work. The other king, and we don't often like to talk about this other king. We don't talk about him in everyday places, because you might be crazy or something like that. Heck, even in some churches, you might be considered crazy if you believe in someone like that. But the other king is Satan. Now, he has been given dominion over this world until Christ returns. So we have an enemy. Jesus, in fact, warned us that we have an enemy, one who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, especially those who follow Jesus. How do we know this? Well, beyond Jesus' direct statements to that fact, we have it in several passages in another book that we kind of like to ignore every once in a while. You see, Satan's GPS, right, was also predicting an arrival that he wasn't too excited about. We have two stories in the Bible about the night that Jesus was born. We have the silent night story, which we heard from the book of Luke. But then we have this other not-so-silent night story. That one is found in the Revelation to John, chapter 12. And I quote, "A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs in the agony of giving birth. And then another portent appeared in heaven, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail swept down a third of the stars from heaven and threw them to the earth. And then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer a place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And the dragon was very angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, that is a version of Jesus' birth that we don't often hear. He has arrived. Let's walk through that for a second. Jesus is about to be born. He is God, the Word made flesh, about to move from the heavenly realms into the earthly realms by the means of being born a human being. He was becoming flesh, fragile, breakable, killable, and as far as the devil was concerned, opportunistically stoppable in this moment. The devil and his angels, of course, now they're referred to as the dragon and the stars in this passage, make war on Michael and his angels, who are guarding over Mary and Jesus as she begins to give birth. This battle ensues. Archangel versus archangel, swords and shields crashing, war cries, desperate battle. In the mind's eye, I can see like the battles in Braveheart and Henry V, you know, that just armies clashing again and again until final victory. And Jesus is born. And in this moment, the devil is cast down to the earth, and a third of the angels are cast down with him. And now we catch up to the story today, that those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus are under attack. Right, breaking news, right? Water is wet. Christians are under attack. But here's the thing. It's exactly what Jesus warned us about. Now, about that time, in a dark field, illuminated by moonlight and starlight, quiet, peaceful, surrounded by the quiet bleating and breathing of a flock of sheep, shepherds likely sat around a fire to keep warm. Maybe they were making some hot chocolate. If it were me, it would be coffee, just saying. But there they were around the fire, warming themselves, and then suddenly their GPS goes off. An army of angels appears to them, wearing armor, carrying swords, spears, shields, looking like they've just won a great victory. And they announce, "He has arrived." Now, I want my GPS to do that when I show up somewhere. Amen? He has arrived. Pull into the church parking lot Sunday morning. But actually, the message was just a bit longer than that. Do not be afraid. First thing they tell them, don't be afraid. Why would these shepherds be afraid, right? Well, somebody just pops out of the air, all dressed in armor and swords and huge, right? Glowy. I'd be a little afraid of that if I were a shepherd. I'd be like, what did you put in that stew, man? Sorry. I can't help myself sometimes. I can't help it. Back to the message. Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly with that angel was a whole host. Now, when we see the word host in the Bible, that host means army. It's Old English for army, host, Lord of heavenly hosts, Lord of all the heavenly armies. That's what that means. So behind this one angel who pops out of nowhere, all of a sudden there's thousands of angels. Now, I imagine these shepherds were a little shook up. But here's the thing, it was good news. And all of this huge army of angels starts singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." Now, I see a bunch of guys in armor and they're yelling, "Peace." Okay, pretty sure I'm safe. But just like that, the field goes dark and quiet. And the shepherds decide to recalculate their GPS one more time. This time they're headed into Bethlehem to meet this once and future king. Brothers and sisters, I announce to you once more on this night, he has arrived. We've been given the message that we need to share in Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 7. It was written as a poem or a song of hope. It was a poem of hope to a people who had given up hope. Sound familiar? Do we know people who have given up hope? Here is a song, a poem, some words of inspiration that we can share with them. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke, I need you to hear this part, for the yoke of their burden. Jesus talks about that burden, right? Take up my yoke. For what? My yoke is light. My burden is easy, right? It's why I have it backwards. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. This is what it's talking about. This is what Jesus is talking about. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Now, if you're familiar with the name Midian, this will take you back to the time of the Exodus, when the Israelites were set free from captivity. This prophecy, this message of hope is telling us that we have been set free, that God has come. This light has been shined upon us so that we can free ourselves from this burden, free ourselves from the darkness. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Now that's a message that we can take confidence in. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This, brothers and sisters, is our message of hope to share today and every day of our lives. Our message, our burden and yoke has been broken because He has arrived. Amen?
Amen.
At this time, we're going to share the light of Christ by lighting a candle. And we're going to join together in song as we light the candles. But the way this will work is I'm going to light my candle off the Christ candle over here. Our ushers will come around. And what you need to do is just hold your candle upright. Okay, and they will lean their candle over to light. Actually, I'm sorry, no, they hold their candle upright. I'm doing this all wrong. They hold their candle up straight, and you lean your candle into light, okay? That's how we're going to do this. Here we go.
Thank you.
Celebrate the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Let us join together in hymn number 246, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us heaven.